My first guest this hour is the Israeli historian Benny Morris, who has a new book called One State, Two States, Resolving the Israel-Palestine Conflict, published by the Yale University Press. Benny Morris became widely known in the 1980s for his book, The Birth of the Palestinian Refugee Problem Revisited. That book challenged what was the accepted Israeli narrative that Palestinians fled on their own when Israel became a state, providing evidence that many or most fled because of Israeli military attacks on Palestinian villages. In recent years, Benny Morris has been seen as more conservative, blaming Palestinians for much of the current impasse. In this new book, Morris defends the idea of a two-state solution at a time when it is beginning to fall out of favor among some on both sides of the conflict. And he proposes his own version of a two-state plan, which we will hear. Again, the book is called One State, Two States, Resolving the Israel-Palestine Conflict. Benny Morris, welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hi, many thanks for having me.
Do you think the idea of a two-state solution is now threatened by both Israeli and Palestinian politics?
For sure. I think gradually over the past few years, the idea that a two-state solution could happen has become unrealistic. And mainly, in my view, I wouldn't put it in a balanced form. It's not both an Israeli and a Palestinian will. It's basically a problem of the Palestinians not wanting a two-state solution, wanting all of Palestine for themselves. To this, one must add that some Israelis favor continued occupation of the West Bank, the settlements, and so on, and this also is an obstacle to a two-state solution.
On the Arab side, what is the nature of a single-state solution as you understand it?
I think both on the part of the Hamas, which says openly and forthrightly that it wants all of Palestine for itself, that this is Allah's will, and that they will eventually have all of Palestine, and among the PLO, or the Palestine National Authority people under President Abbas, they too basically are interested in having all of Palestine for themselves, perhaps with a Jewish minority, but certainly not dividing the land. This has been the consistent, constant policy of the Palestinian Arab National Movement since its inception in the 1920s, and unfortunately this remains the Palestinian national will.
But you think that's true even among the Palestinian Authority or Fatah faction of Mahmoud Abbas? They've been so overtly outspoken in a way that the PLO never was under Yasser Arafat about a two-state solution being the desired outcome.
I think they talk about a two-state solution because it finds favor with the West and therefore gets them aid in dollars and American and perhaps European political support. But I think at base they too are interested down the road in a one-state solution and the elimination of Israel. And they actually express this in two ways. You have to understand what's going on to read their language. On the one hand, they say, and Abbas has said it very clearly in the last few days, he is interested in a two-state solution, but not two states for two peoples. One state for the Palestinian Arabs, and another state, not for the Jews, but for anybody who lives in Israel. And he hopes, of course, down the road, that in what is called today Israel, there will eventually be an Arab majority. And this he, in effect, tries to assure, and this is the second point, by insisting on a Palestinian-Arab refugee return. There are something like 5 million Palestinians who are designated by the United Nations as refugees, and he demands as part of his political program that these refugees return to the area called Israel. And
but,
of course,
but you don't believe, you don't Israel believe, will ha- you don't believe that he means that, do you? I mean, that was always part of the negotiation. With respect to Abbas, isn't it conventional wisdom that if they get to a Camp David or Taba style, end of the Clinton era style two-state solution peace accord, that the Israelis will give up some things like sole authority over Jerusalem, and the Palestinians will give up some things widely believed to include the so-called right of return, because it would demographically overwhelm the Jews in Israel. Instead, some kind of limited right of return with monetary reparations, something that would ensure that Israel retain its Jewish identity.
Well, this is certainly the Western will and the Israeli left's will, but I don't think this conforms with reality. I think when they were actually offered a two-state solution, as you say, with part of Jerusalem being under their sovereignty and so on, in the year 2000 by President Clinton, they rejected it, and they insisted and continued to insist on a refugee return. And this has been a constant in Palestinian policy, and I think it's part of Palestinian national identity. I don't think there is a Palestinian leader who can stand up and say, I waive the right of return, I give up the right of return. And it's not just a matter of politics or tactics. It's basic to the Palestinian desire and case.
What about on the Israeli side? The new Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, and my guest is Benny Morris, the Israeli historian, if you're just joining us, his new book, One State, Two States, Resolving the Israel-Palestine Conflict. Benjamin Netanyahu has never embraced a two-state solution as the only endpoint. So something is moving on the Israeli side as well, I guess, if he was reelected.
I would put it like this. I think that the right in Israel, which traditionally wanted all of Palestine and not a two-state solution, after the First Intifada, the 1980s, 1990s, gradually accepted the inevitability of Israel withdrawing from the West Bank and the emergence of a Palestinian state. Netanyahu, it is true, and his associate on the extreme right, Lieberman, do not admit this, but I think that they understand that Israel must get out of the territories if it wants to retain its Jewish character.
Listeners, if you're engaged with the Israeli-Palestinian issue, do you believe in a two-state solution more or less than you did in the past? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. As I understand your version of a two-state plan, it would roll back the clock in at least one sense. You would see a federation of the Palestinian areas with the nation of Jordan. Is that correct?
Yes, it's not a new idea. It was something suggested in one way or another during the 1970s by the Israeli left, by Labor, that Israel withdraw from the bulk of the West Bank or all of the West Bank and East Jerusalem, and that these areas be united with the state of Jordan and creating thus a Palestinian-Jordanian state. The advantage of this over the other two-state solution proposed by Clinton and others before, that simply Palestine be divided between Palestinians and Israelis, is that a mini Palestinian state based only on the West Bank and the Gaza Strip would inevitably try to expand and get more territory. Whereas if a Jordan and the West Bank were joined as a Palestinian-Jordanian state, at least the motivation, the impetus to expand would be reduced, because Jordan has an enormous area which is uninhabited.
Why would either Palestinians or Jordan go for that? Jordan seemed only too happy to be rid of the Palestinian areas after Israel captured them in 1967, and Palestinians want their own state, not to be an appendage of Jordan for the convenience of Israel. No?
Yes, yes, I agree with you. I'm not talking about the Palestinians or the West Bank as an appendage of Jordan. I'm talking about a co-equal state. I think most of Jordan's citizenry today, about 70%, is of Palestinian origin, children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren of refugees from Palestine. So, but basically, most of Jordanians are Palestinians, and their brothers across the river in the West Bank, it makes sense for them to join together in one state. You're right that the Hashemite House will oppose this, or at least oppose this on the face of things, but it might, for the longevity also of the Hashemites, make sense for them to make their peace with the Palestinians and go forward in a joint state. For the Palestinians, it makes sense, because continuing to battle Israel on the basis of desiring the West Bank and all of Palestine as well At the moment, certainly doesn't seem realistic. Israel is simply too powerful.
Steve in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Benny Morris. Hello, Steve.
Hi. Hi, Benny. First of all, I think you need to stop telling the Jordanians and the Palestinians what they should do. I think they are capable of handling their own affairs. I also think you should stop with the myth of the 2000 Clinton plan being a feasible proposal. It was a series of Bantustan-like strings. There was not a contiguous area. It was not a feasible state, and it was not designed to provide what is needed. If you really want a solution and to provide for Israel's security and long-term longevity and prosperity, you need to go back. At this point, we need to go back to the 67 lines. Nothing short of that will work. If Israel is smart, she'll negotiate a little bit of territory around the Jerusalem area that she's populated so heavily for some area down in the Negev, which can provide possibly a conduit between Gaza and the West Bank.
But what do you think of that solution, Benny Morris?
I'm not actually telling anybody what to do. I'm just offering my take on what a possible solution might look like. But I would object to what was said here about the past. This is pure nonsense. In December 2000, President Clinton offered the Palestinians a state made up of 95% of the West Bank, not Bantustan, but a contiguous West Bank with East Jerusalem, sovereignty over almost all of East Jerusalem and Gaza Strip. And they turned it down. I believe that Israel should withdraw from the West Bank. I believe Israel should uproot its settlements from the West Bank, whether it's exactly 100% or 95% with an exchange of territory with the Palestinians from Israel proper of the 5%. That's something to be worked out as a technicality. But the problem, as I see it, is that the Palestinians do not really want to, and they've been offered it a number of times, a state of their own in a divided Palestine, and always rejected it. They rejected it in 1937, they rejected it in 1947, they rejected it in 2000. And this is the main obstacle to peace.
Moshe in Rockland County. Moshe, you're on WNYC with Benny Morris. Hello.
Hi. Nothing could be more dangerous than Israel creating a terrorist entity in what's known as the West Bank, which is actually the territories of Yehuda and Shomron. What do you think they're going to want as a military going on there? Who's going to stop them from firing missiles, from getting missiles into the area? It'd be a joke if it wasn't so serious. It's a terrible, terrible idea. They should be repatriated. This is what should have happened in 1967. No, Brian, Jordan wasn't happy to be rid of those territories. They were happy that the Israelis didn't insist on repatriating the populations back to Jordan, who held that area since 1949.
In other words, expelling all of the Palestinians out of the West Bank to Jordan is what you mean by repatriation.
Since 1993, it's chronicled on a daily basis that the entire society of that area, of I would call a so-called society, because it's subhuman in many aspects.
Morsi, you know what? I'm just not gonna stand for that. You can have your policy disagreements, but when you start calling people subhuman, we're just not going there. Nevertheless, Benny Morris, Moshe does not speak only for himself, as you know too well.
Yeah. No, I would take offense at the phrases like subhuman. We're all human beings around here, but we, as you say, we have disagreements. The problem is, and he has put his finger on an important problem, if Israel withdraws from the West Bank, as it withdrew from the Gaza Strip in 2005, and the Palestinians turned the West Bank into a staging post for missile attacks on the center of Israel, on Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, this will be an untenable situation. The problem is, though, and this he isn't facing, is that if Israel doesn't withdraw from the West Bank and the population remains in place and there is no possibility of expelling the population, and it's also immoral, the population remains in place, then Israel will eventually turn into a binational state, and it wants to remain a Jewish state. So these are the horns of the dilemma.
Right.
Withdrawing leaves you exposed to missile attacks, and keeping the territory exposes you to becoming a binational rather than a Jewish state.
I have read you quoted saying you could see expulsion of Palestinians from their homes, I guess, into Jordan, as a justifiable alternative under certain circumstances. Is that your position? Most of the world would consider that ethnic cleansing.
I never phrased it that way. I can see that down the road in history, I could see the Arabs expelling or butchering, in fact, all of Israel's Jewish population. And as an alternative, I could also see Israel expelling Arabs from the West Bank. Both are possible historical declensions. These things could happen down the road in apocalyptic circumstances. And in apocalyptic circumstances, a war between Israel and Iran with nuclear missiles being exchanged and Arabs behind the lines shooting at Israeli troops, I could see anything happening. This is true, and I've said that.
Benny Morris, on the Arab and Western left version of a one-state solution, they argue that Israel as it exists is inconsistent with the ideals of Western democracy, that it's one of the few states in the world created to guarantee control for one religion, Pakistan is another, or people, no matter what changes there are in the population. That's why the Palestinians are occupied without voting rights or pressured to leave and become refugees, the argument goes. So if Israel just keeps the land and the people, it would have a non-Jewish majority. So having a classic Western-style democracy would just give everyone the vote, and a constitution would protect both Jewish and Palestinian rights and individual rights, argue people like Noam Chomsky and others who see this, I think you called it a binational solution, a one-state, you know, secular Western democracy kind of solution. Why is that not feasible, in your view, or not a more contemporary solution than the Zionist notion that Israel was founded on in the 1940s?
Well, most of the Western democracies are nation states based on one nation, with minorities, but one nation in control. France, the French, Germany, the Germans, and so on. There's no inconsistency between a majority nation ruling and a democracy. But the problem with the one-state solution, as envisaged by the Arabs, is that there will not really be parity, demographic or political, between the Arabs and the Jews in it. Once there's a one-state solution based on all of Palestine, with a Palestinian refugee return, as the Arabs insist on, there will be a majority of Arabs here, and minorities in all Arab countries for the last 1,000 years have suffered horrendously, including Jewish minorities. There are no Jewish minorities left in Arab states. They all fled or were expelled. And this would be the case as well in Palestine. The Jews, if they were outnumbered, would be the minority. The majority would have hegemony, would persecute the minority, and the minority would leave. This is what would happen in reality. For naive people who talk about parity and Arabs assuring the rights of minorities, let them look at Iraq, let them look at Syria, what happens to Kurds there, let them look at blacks, what happens to them in Sudan and in the rest of the Arab world.
Benny Morris's new book is One State, Two States, Resolving the Israel-Palestine Conflict. Obviously, we are not going to resolve it here. Thank you very much for joining us and having this conversation.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in just a minute, we will hear from the four remaining finalists in the Brian Lehrer Show Satire Slam. And actor-comedian Faith Saley will be back to listen in and give her thoughts. And then after the show, you'll be able to vote on all the semifinalists in the Satire Slam. The winners will come and join us live in the green space next week.